Great God, you ought to come along, my friend. Come along. You better get on board, yeah. And nothing on this train. Everything. Great God, you ought to come along, my friend. Oh, you better get up, oh yeah, and ride. Nothing on this train. Everything, everything to gain. A wise theologian once said, do all the good you can in all the places you can, in all the ways you can, all the times you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, wherever you can. Because the word of God says, for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Amen. You have your personal copy. World's bestseller. Good to see Brother Ryan today. Chapter 14. Of John's gospel. We're going to read a few verses in this chapter. We're going to look at verses 15, verses 21, verses 23 and 24. John, the gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. If you have that, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to read these passages after me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus answered and said, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come to him, make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. I want to read verse 15 once again. If you love me, keep my commandments. Would you announce this subject with me? If you love me. Say it again. If you love me. Once again. If you love me. The word if is a very important word in life. The word if is a conjunction which shows that certain circumstances or events must be in place for certain things to happen. If denotes qualification. Many times in communication, Jesus would use what is called in logical argumentation. It is called the if-then formula. For example, he said, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. He said, if you do not believe in me, then you will die in your sins. He said to the woman at Jacob's well, if you knew who was talking to you, then you would have asked me for some living water. You see, everybody has an if then in their lives. That's why he said, if you love me. How many can say this morning, I love the Lord? Amen. It's certainly good to say it, but the Lord says, I want you to move beyond sanctified lip service and move to holy action and obedience. So as we share this word today, there are three things I want you to see. Number one is we love him because. We love him because. Point number two is who would love the most? Who would love the most? And point number three is if you love me. So three things I want to see as we explore and analyze this sermonic thought. We love him because. That great scholar and teacher Solomon is perpetually relevant. He said, of all you're getting, get understanding. What I'm saying this morning is that we need people to understand why they love the Lord. We need intelligent understanding of why we love the Lord. Because the Bible teaches us that we love the Lord because he first loved us. Now, I've heard people say that it was love at first sight. No, I ain't gonna argue about that. That's your business. Amen? But I found that in most cases, it was somebody who loved somebody first. Then that love was reciprocated. If somebody wanted love, like the song said, girl, I'm gonna keep on trying till I win your love. Is that all right? Can y'all relate to that? Can the brothers relate to it? Girl, I'm gonna keep on trying till I win your love. Why, I wanna sing it this morning. Is that all right? But the Bible says that we love God because he first loved us. If I say I love the Lord, I ought to have some intelligent reasons for why. The Bible lets me know that God loves me. Bush Hill, I want to tell you this morning, did you know that you're loved by God? Did you know that the Father loves you? Did you know that the Son loves you? And did you know that the Holy Spirit loves you? We love him because he first loved us. And there are different dimensions of the love of God. One of the grandest thoughts in the scripture is the love of God. Yes, we need to preach more and teach more and talk about the love of God. Then help people to understand the love of God. There are different dimensions of the love of God. First of all, the love of God is a revealing love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is a revealing love. But not only is it a revealing love, it's a rescuing love. God love is a love that rescues you. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But not only is it a rescuing love, it is a redeeming love. Redeem means to pay the price, to set somebody free. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins. Lord have mercy. according to the scriptures. But not only is it a redeeming love, it is a relieving love. It relieves of problems and anxieties and issues. God's love relieves me. Based upon the text in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't invite you to come to him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ain't that a wonderful thing? But not only, my dear brothers and sisters, is it a relieving love, it is a remaining love. You know, some folks will love you for a while, and then they quit loving you. Y'all all right? It's a remaining love. It is an eternal love. He's loved us with a love that will hang in there with you. Like the song say, I'll be there concerning the love of God. We could say, I'll be there. And it's a remaining love because he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake. I don't care how dark the night becomes. The Lord says to you as he whispers to your soul, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And then, not only that, it is a remarkable love. It's remarkable. Remarkable means something that is deserving of notice. It means something that is extraordinary. According to Ephesians 3 and verse 19, the Bible tells us that the love of God, it surpasses knowledge. I mean, this love is so deep you can't even figure it out. God has a peace that passes understanding. Praise be unto God. Psychiatrists can't figure it out. Psychologists can't figure it out. Therapists can't figure it out. It's a love that passes knowledge. But not only is it a remarkable love, it is a rejoicing love. I wonder if anybody happy today. It's a rejoicing love. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice is based, you know, you live your life better if you happy. You see, if you living at home, y'all could live in the house better if y'all happy in there. Yeah, you know, if you driving the car together, y'all could do better if you happy in there. You could do better at work if you happy. Oh, I'm just so much so better off if I'm happy. That's why Pharrell. That's why y'all like that song, the happy song, huh? The happy song, cause I'm happy. Bobby McFerrin, I know Cupcake like that one. Don't worry, be. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. God's love is a rejoicing love. When I understand these seven dimensions, I guess gave you seven dimensions of his love. And when I understand these seven dimensions, it gives me an intelligent. You ever just told somebody, you know, I love you because. Girl, I love you because you're so pretty. Girl, I love you more than a country hog loves city slop. That's a lot of love, ain't it? Because you know country hog loves city slop. Is that all right? You give the reasons why you love. You see, people are not going to love God if they don't understand what's going on. Bring me to my second point is who would love the most? Brother Wyatt read it so beautifully. Jesus, the master storyteller, was invited to the home of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And while he was there, something unexpected and something unusual happened while he was there. A woman came in who had a reputation for being immoral. The woman had messed up her name. She had messed up her brand. But when she heard that Jesus was in that house, something unexpected, something unusual took place. She came in and stood behind him weeping. Began to weep, and she brought in a beautiful box of expensive and marvelous smelling perfume. She stood behind him, and then she began to wash his feet with her tears. She dried them with her hair. Then she began to kiss his feet. Then she anointed his feet with that expensive perfume. And while she was doing this, Simon didn't say anything, but he was thinking it. So you better be careful how you think when you're in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord can listen in on your inner dialogue. He can listen in on your conversation to know what's going on. And Simon, he was so unapproving of this play, of this display, that he began to attempt to discredit Jesus. Brother Wyatt, he said that if he were a real prophet, he wouldn't let a woman like this touch him. A real prophet, don't you know about this woman's reputation? And Jesus was listening to him while he thought within himself and said, Simon, I got something I want to say to you. He said, say on, master. He said, Simon, that was a man who did two wonderful things for two men. He was a creditor or a debtor. And this man, he lent two men some money. You know, it's a wonderful thing when folks will let you have some money. Y'all better come on talk to me. You know how happy we get when they say the loan been approved. We happy till we got to make the payments. Is that all right? Well, Sister Johnson, he lent one man 500 pieces of silver. He lent another man 50 pieces of silver, and neither one was able to repay it. And so he said to Simon that two men were loaned some money, and neither one was able to pay it back. And then the second wonderful thing happened was, watch this, the creditor forgave the debt. Frankly, that is, you know, you take out a loan and Regions Bank send you a notice and say, Brother Sperling, you took out the loan. We'll let you know, Doc, you ain't got to pay it. It's all right. Brother Sperling said, wow. But Regions Bank don't do that too often. Is that all right? Matter of fact, I don't know, not one time they did it. You hear that, Janice? Amen. And then Jesus said, now Simon, I want to ask you, who would love him the most? 500 pieces of silver versus 50 pieces of silver. And Simon said, I suppose the one that he forgave the larger debt. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. And then Jesus took it to the next level. And then he applied the parable to the present situation. He turned that situation into a teachable moment. And said to him, Simon, when I came into your house, and you know, when you love somebody, you treat them differently than when you don't love them. Or if you love somebody more than you love somebody else, they'll be on your front row and your top shelf. He said, I come into your house, you didn't offer me any water for the dust on my feet, but this woman began to wash my feet with her tears. And Lord have mercy, she dried them with her hair. He said that you didn't greet me with the kiss of greeting when I came in, Simon, but this woman is kissing my feet over and over and over again. And then he said, Simon, when I came in, you didn't give me the courtesy of anointing my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with precious ointment. And I want to say to you, Simon, because this woman was forgiven a lot. She messed up her life. But I don't care how messed up your life is, the Lord can fix it. I'm telling you that Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king horses and all the king men couldn't put him back together again. But I tell you, if Christ had been there, he could have put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Is that all right? He's in the business of taking shattered and broken lives and putting them back together again. So this woman had a deep sense of appreciation for what God had done for her. Simon felt like the Lord hadn't done that much for him. And so he didn't love. Maybe some folks in the church don't feel like the Lord done much for you. And maybe that's why you don't love him. And why you ain't moving for him. Because you felt like you were doing all right before he came along. And I'm telling you, you know, trying to be married without being in love is hard. Oh, I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. Trying to stay married to somebody you don't love. Trying to stay married. Oh, Lord. Somebody you don't love. It's difficult, maybe even impossible. And trying to be a Christian. Trying to go to heaven without loving the Lord. It's difficult. Maybe even impossible. Because how many want to be successful in living the Christian life? The only way you and I can be successful in living the Christian life is you and I have to love the Lord. Because if we don't love him, we're not going to obey him. Are you listening to that? I'm saying if we don't love him, if we don't appreciate what he did for us. Amen. You see, I love God for three important reasons. Can I give you three reasons? Number one, I love him for who he is. Nobody have to tell me I ought to love my children. I love every one of them. Do they get on my nerves sometimes? Yes. Do they frustrate me? Yes. But I don't stop loving them. I love the Lord because of who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the blessed and only potentate. Then I love him because I owe him for everything that I am and everything that I have. I owe him for my very existence, for in him I live and I move. And I have my being. Now, whether you acknowledge it or not, God woke you up this morning. Amen. And whether you acknowledge it or not, God gives you the health and the energy and the vitality and the strength that's in your body. Right. Is that all right? And I love him for every good gift. I love him because he let me get a new car. All right, y'all all right? Amen. I love him because he let me get a new suit. Everything, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I love him for who he is. I love him for my very existence, but most of all, I love him for the price he paid to save me. My dear brother, Brother Sperling says, and I like the way he says it. He said, it's a glorious salvation. Yes, it is. We have a wonderful salvation. And oh, what a price he paid in order for me to be saved. And I ought to love him. Love him for that. Amen. Here's the final thought, church, and I'll be finished. The final thought is, if you love me, who you think loved the Lord the most in the church? Do you think in the modern day church there are people who love the Lord a little? What about you? How much you love him? You love him a lot, or do you love him? You know, he is a jealous God. He says, thou shalt have no other God before me. I'm saying perhaps some of the problem we have in the church today, we have people trying to serve God without loving him. Too many folks are serving God out of just fear. I don't want to go to hell. I don't either. But it's got to move beyond. The lowest form of motivation to be a Christian is fear. It's fear. We got to move to the higher level of motivation, which is love. We love him. Why? Because he first loved me. Let's conclude it. If you love me. Oh, that girl named Toni Braxton, love with a what? That's what I thought. Thank you, Cookie. I thought. So when a man love his family, when he gets paid off, he brings his money home and bring himself home too. Is that all right? Because love will make you do. And I'm telling you, we can't succeed as Christians without loving the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Yeah. Though I have all knowledge and understand all mysteries and all things, and though I have faith to move mountains, if I have not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, I'm nothing. Jesus said, if you love me, you approve it. He said, here's the way I want you to demonstrate your love for me. Here are my commandments. Commands are those prescriptions given by someone in authority. Got a lot of folks going to church, but don't love the Lord. Or they love him a little. Amen? And we can't succeed. We're not going to be successful. How many want to succeed at the Christian life? It's going to take love. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Who loves me? The one who sincerely strives. I appreciate Brother Harris' prayer. There's a consciousness in him. And when he prays, he says, forgive us of our sins of commission and omission. And you know why a church loses its first love? Becomes lukewarm? because it stops loving the Lord. You know, folks can get married and they ain't loving like they used to. So like the little girl, she had a bad brother, Lance, and she said, he just so bad. Said, you have you prayed for him? She said, yeah, I prayed for him, but it ain't done no good. Because he's still bad. Yeah. Is that all right? And I'm telling you that if I love God, I will keep his commandments. He said, if you really love me, you will keep my commandments. Who is it that does not love me? Who is it in the church who loves me a little? Nobody had to tell that woman, Yvonne, to go and buy some expensive ointment. You know, love will make you go 2 and 3 miles. Love will make you buy canned and flowers when it ain't no occasion. Quiet this morning. This love stuff uncomfortable to y'all? Like y'all a little uncomfortable. Amen. Now as I conclude, let me leave you with this. We got a challenge on our hand. And the challenge is for every sermon, every class, every encounter, we got to help folks to understand what it means to love the Lord. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to talk about. Jesus said, if you don't keep my commandments, then you don't love me. That's what the Lord said. Amen. If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. There are some things he asks us to do. I know they're difficult. But my love for him make me show up want to try. I'd rather not love my enemies. I'd just be fair with you. Can you say amen to that? But the Lord told me to do what? Love my enemies. And Lord have mercy. If I love him. I will keep his commandment. How much do I love? Can your love grow? Yes, it can grow. As I grow in my understanding of what the Lord has done for me, what the Lord is doing for me, and I just want to thank, how many this morning I can just thank him for everything he's done for me? Amen. Had it not been for the Lord, oh, where would I be? Oh, where would I be? And if you love him, you'll do what he say. Yes, sir. Amen. The genius of Christianity is whosoever will, let him come. You don't browbeat people. You teach them. You encourage them. You educate them. You motivate them to love God. Because the greatest commandment in all scripture is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And you should love your neighbor, Lord have mercy, as you love yourself. So as I said good morning to you, it's still good morning, about 11:30. As I said good morning to you this morning, as I go to my seat, somebody ought to say, I really love the Lord. Is that all right? Oh, you don't know what he done for me. Yes, he gave me the victory. Is that all right? Somebody ought to say, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a joy between my Lord and I. Somebody ought to say, I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Is that all right? And they said, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me when nothing else would help. Oh, I tell you, it was love that lifted me. Is that all right? Somebody ought to say, the love is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is that all right? And I hear Paul saying, why, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And though I have all knowledge and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have the faith, Sister Yvonne, to move mountains, if I don't have love, it don't profit me anything. Is that all right? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Is that all right? And I raised the question, what can separate me from the love of Christ? Is that all right? Shall tribulation or distress, nakedness, peril or sword separate me from the love of Christ? I tell you, we are counted as sheep of the slaughter. All day long we are killed, but we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that all right? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities of power, thing present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Is that all right? Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy. Can anybody say amen to that? My all, he is my strength from day to day. Without him, without him, without him. I said, without him, I would fall. What I'm sad, to him I go. No other friend can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Christ, how many know that this morning that Christ loves you? Christ is the lover of my soul. Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he's saying to you, you know I love you. Jeremy, you know I love you. Brother Wyatt, you know I love you. Sister Sperling, you know I love you. Why? Because I laid down my life for you. Is that all right? And if you love me, if you love me, Lord, I love you, I'm going to do better. Can you say amen to that? If you love me, what did he say you'll do? You will. Keep my commandments. Would you stand, please? That's the message. That's the message. I really love the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, prove the sincerity of your love. Amen. Don't we have to prove it? Don't we have to prove it? Amen. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning and say, you know, I love the Lord and I want to give my life to congratulate Marcus Dunklin last Sunday. I asked him today, how was it? He said that he had a great week. He said he had a blessed week. And when you're in the Lord, you can have a great week, a blessed week, and a blessed life. Isn't that right? And Brother Marcus, the Lord loves you, brother. And I know you growing in your love and your understanding of him. If you're here today, you're not a Christian, you can become one by five simple yet profound steps by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You come to the Lord by repentance, Acts 17:30. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. You come to the Lord by confession, Romans 10:9-10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all the time you're taking these steps, you're looking at the cross, you're looking at the Lamb of God. You're looking at the one who finished the work for you, the one who died on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary. You're looking at that. That's motivating. You're looking at that love. Enough love for you to take the nails. Enough love for you to be brutalized. Enough love for you to give up his life. And you mean to tell me that can't make you? Somebody said, Christianity is not so much of breaking a man's will. It's really about breaking his heart. God will break your heart with his love. You ever had anybody in your life you didn't like, and all of a sudden now you're crazy about? You was hating on them, drinking hate aid, and now you love them. You know, the Lord can turn you around like that. And then finally, you're immersed, you're baptized in water like the dear brother was for the remission of your sins. And the Lord who loves you, love you enough to die for you, writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You might be on Facebook, but are you in the Lamb's book? Amen. You might be on social media, but are you in the Lamb's book? And social media is a monster. It's a double-edged sword. So you better be careful what you tweeting and sharing. It'll come back and bite you. Is that all right? So if you're here, if you're a child of God and you hadn't been loving the Lord, you know you ain't been loving the Lord like you ought to love him. You've been half-stepping. You've been giving him the leftovers of your love. You ought to make that right today. And say, Lord, I ain't been loving you. Lord, I ain't been treating you like I should have been treating you. Lord, I'm going to love you. And Lord, I'm going to serve you like you deserve to be served. Because not only is he worthy to be praised, he's worthy to be loved. Amen. Amen. Don't just praise him. Love him. I keep falling in over, over, now I keep falling over, over, now he gets sweeter and sweeter. Oh, what a love. I keep falling in love with him over, over.